County is home to many minority entrepreneurs who strengthen the local small business community. Each week, we'll bring you one of their stories. Welcome to Neighborhood Voice. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer. And this week, we are hearing from Rocklin Page, owner of Rock-A-Block. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So you have some very cool, inspiring t-shirts, hoodies, apparel that I've seen on your website. Tell me about your collection.
Well, my collection is just, as you said, a collection of just various things that either cross my mind or things I've experienced in life or have just been influenced by things I've experienced. I just try to find things that are funny and try to make people connect in different ways rather than just having a simple statement on a shirt, but find a deeper meaning behind a social, a social issue or just anything that can make people smile, laugh, or just make light of a situation.
Yeah, I've seen that you had a lot of black iconic figures like W.B. Du Bois and Harriet Tubman. And so what inspired you to make graphics, make apparel that is highlighting these black iconic figures?
I've always wanted to tell stories. When I was younger, as a kid, I always wanted to be a graphic designer. And I wanted to be a comic book artist. But with that type of work, it was just very demanding. And honestly, I didn't think I was good enough at the time. But I found that T-shirts and apparel is a way to make people a living canvas, where I can just put my artwork on something, on a shirt or a hoodie or a pin or a brooch, and someone can wear it in Las Vegas or Tennessee or California. And I get comments back saying, hey, I was out wearing my shirt today, and someone stopped me and asked where I got it from and wanted to know all about it. And it just seems like a perfect media to tell stories, to share art.
And so you mentioned that you wanted to be a graphic designer or a comic book artist. So what did you end up going into?
I went into graphic design. And that influence came from my grandfather. He was a self-taught painter, self-taught artist. And his son, my father, and his daughters, my aunts, all became artists at one point in their lives, whether they took it professionally or not. They pursued sculpture, painting, drawing, and even if it was just a hobby for them, it was just a very strong family trait. And I felt it was my duty to carry on that legacy. Mm-hmm. And so I studied art all through high school, college. I went to Ball State University in Northeast Indiana. And from there, I got a job at Ebony and Jet Magazine in Chicago. That's what brought me to this area. And just being exposed to a national publication like that just gave me a feel for what I could do and just seeing my work on a national level. And it just seemed like a great experience. I wanted to tell my own stories, not just tell someone else's stories, but be able to find a way to reach people.
And what did you do at Ebony and Jet Magazine?
I was a graphic designer and illustrator for 4 years. There I worked on Jet Magazine, Ebony Magazine, Fashion Fair Cosmetics. Any print collateral or just in-house advertising they needed, I helped out with.
And you said that's what brought you to this area. So
yes.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Not too far from us.
Not too far, but far enough.
Yeah.
And after college, I knew I wanted to move to the big city. There weren't that many opportunities at the time for black artists in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And I tried to look for jobs there with a little success. But then I said, you know what? I'm just going to go straight for the top. And when I found out Ebony and Jet Magazine was just 3 hours away, I just applied. And by grace of God, I got in. I got hired.
And so you mentioned that there weren't really many opportunities for black artists for you in Indianapolis and probably in the field as a whole at that time. Have you seen that change? Have you seen like the field of graphic design become more diverse?
In some ways, I wouldn't say I've seen it become more diverse as far as the industry goes, maybe in their content or how they're trying to reach people. But I've seen a lot of artists, independent designers strike out on their own and start their own businesses and their own firms and their own t-shirt lines. And so I think that's where a lot of flexibility comes in, a lot of freedom, because when you do work for someone else, no matter who it is, a black company or white company, you're adhering to their standards and their style of design, and you're telling the stories that they want to tell. Mm-hmm. And so I've definitely seen a rise in people telling their own stories.
And so you said that you come from a long line of artists, and Do you come from a long line of business owners too, or what inspired you kind of to go off on your own and start your own collection?
Well, I feel like I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. Even when I was a kid, I would draw pictures for people for money. And when I saw people actually liked my artwork, I would draw anything from, you know, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, so I was drawing anything from Ninja Turtles to Treasure Trolls or to pretty much whatever anyone wanted. And when I saw people liked my work and wanted to pay me for it, I was like, hey, I can make a living off of this. And so I just kept pursuing it. As far as my family goes, there are many people that tried, you know, businesses, whether it was a, actually my great-grandfather, he was an aspiring inventor. He had a patent for a flying car in 1947, which
at the time, really.
It was. And at the time, I thought it was a tall tale that my father would tell me. But up until maybe a few years ago when one of my cousins from upstate New York sent me some newspaper clippings showing my great-grandfather and had pictures of his patent drawings in the newspaper. I was like, wow, this is real. This isn't just a fairy tale that my parents told me. And so just to see that, and I asked my grandmother more about the story, and I come to find that he spent his entire life chasing this dream, this invention. And even though it didn't come to fruition, that still didn't stop him. Mm-hmm. And so just looking back at my life, I didn't know how this was going to turn out. I didn't know how Rockablock was going to turn out. But I just knew I had to try.
And so how is it working out for you?
It's working out pretty well so far. There are challenges to any small business, mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, meeting supply and demand or just getting orders in or just getting the work done. I'm a one-man show at the moment. And so it's gone from me starting in my basement 3 years ago in November 2017 to me moving into my first brick and mortar opening in 2 weeks.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Where is your brick and mortar store?
It is in Liberty Plaza in Maryville. That's 7884 Broadway, Unit 81 West. And it's a big undertaking. It's terrifying at times. And every day I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? But then I tell myself, I have to do this. Because if my biggest fear was waking up 70, 80, 90 years old and wishing I had done this.
Yeah, the fear of not doing it is greater than the fear of doing it, right? So you
definitely
just move forward with it.
Definitely. And I don't think I'm doing anything special that no one else has the capacity to do. I think you just have to dig down and believe in yourself and go for it. Of course, do your research, find out if it's a worthwhile venture. But in the end, sometimes you just have to just jump, take that leap of faith, and go for it.
So I've seen on your apparel, on your T-shirts, you have, Black Lives Matter phrases. You have, don't touch my hair, which is something that I've had to say a few times. Do you consider yourself an activist?
In some ways, yes. Mm-hmm. But I might not be on the front lines marching, but I support my people. I try to tell stories. I don't ignore what's going on in the world. And I think about my daughter and my wife and my family and the things that we've had to endure. I've had to endure things in my youth. I've had police pull guns on me when I was 13 years old. And so when seeing these stories of a black man getting shot, an unarmed black man being shot by police officers, mm-hmm. that brought back those memories of me as a 13-year-old boy in Indianapolis with a gun pointed at me. And I did nothing wrong. And I know that can happen again anytime, anywhere, mm-hmm. even as a 40-year-old man. And so, yes, I guess I am an activist in many ways because I'm living it. And I'm not going to take a seat on the bench while it happens. So I will continue to tell stories. I will continue to find ways to highlight social issues that are going on here for my community, for my people.
Yeah, I think it's important for all of us to recognize what we can do where we are. As you say, you're not out on the front lines marching, but you're using your talent and the platform that you have to get messages out in the way that you want to. And so I think there's an important lesson about using your platform and where you are to stand up for what you know is right.
Definitely.
So where do you see your business growing? You said you have a brick and mortar store. I've seen you do a television interview on ABC 7. So it seems like your business is really growing. Where do you see it going over the next few years?
I honestly don't know sometimes. There are days where I thought I was going to be doing something completely different. Then COVID hit, and I had to pivot and shift gears. But I hope that Rock-A-Block will become a nationally known household name. I want it to be a brand that, you know, speaks truth to people, that inspires people. I plan on hosting events at my shop, so it won't just be a T-shirt shop. It will be a small event space where people can actually come and make their own T-shirts, listen to some live music, just hang out. It's a space meant to inspire people, and it's meant to bring out your creativity. Even if you just don't shop, you just want to come by and hang out for a little bit. You know, I got a big purple couch in the showroom where you can just sit down and just relax, listen to some music, and, you know, hopefully buy a T-shirt or two. But I just want it to be the place that I've always wanted to work. You know, growing up, you'd see how people work in these big lofts downtown or these big ad agencies, and then you get to a real job and find out you're just in this gray cubicle in a corner somewhere, and you're like, okay, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. So I really just want to be a place where I can feed my own creativity and hopefully feed other people's creativity.
And you've grown, it seems like you've grown a lot over the past, you said, 3 years.
Yes.
When you were making the shirts in your basement to, you know, now opening your own retail front. And so what have you learned in those 3 years of growth about your business?
I've learned that I can't do it by myself. When you start out small, when I started out small, I would just, you know, print out a shirt. As soon as I got the order, I would print it. But now it's, some days I might have 20 orders, or some days I might have 10. It all varies. And then I've learned that you have to cut yourself some slack, that I can't do it all. I can't be everywhere at once, and I have to take a break from time to time. So I think that's one of the most important things, is learning to take care of myself and not just pour everything in me into my business, because in the end, I am my business. And I think just taking people's advice with a grain of salt sometimes, because you get a lot of unsolicited advice. For me, I usually get an email like, hey, can you make this design? Hey, can you do that design? Hey, can you do this? You should do that. Or one big thing that I've tried to adhere to is, when people die, celebrities die, I don't make a shirt trying to make money off of it. So when Kobe Bryant died, I had a few people ask me if I was going to make a RIP Kobe shirt or a 24 shirt, and I said no. I do not want to profit off of a tragedy. I know I can make money. I know I can make a pretty good shirt, but it just doesn't feel right to become an opportunist during a tragedy like that. So that's where I try to teach myself to have standards, have a certain level of conduct for my business. It might be right for someone else to do that, but for me, it's not.
And you said you've gotten a lot of unsolicited, probably not so good advice, but have you gotten any good advice?
Definitely. Again, going back to taking care of myself. I've had people tell me, you know, don't forget to exercise, eat right, get some rest. It's okay to turn off the computer and go home for a while. But pay your taxes. just general things.
That's important.
I got hooked up with the Small Business Association here in Northwest Indiana, and they've offered a lot of great advice to me, just making connections on how to get a small business loan, just how to apply for PPP loans and things of that nature, or even just to bounce some ideas off of them. There's just things I just don't know about. I'm pretty active on social media, but when you're trying to beat the algorithm on Facebook or Instagram, you want yourself to be seen. It's like, if I mention a T-shirt or I'm selling something, all of a sudden I get 10 likes. But if I just post a picture of my daughter wearing a T-shirt and with no caption, it gets 150 likes or something. So it's just learning those things, too. And so I try to take advice from people who know the industry. And just knowing that I can't do it all myself, I will have to eventually hire someone to do those things for me.
Well, thank you so much, Rockland, for being on. Can you tell people how they can find your apparel?
Yes, you can find me on rockablock.com. That's rockablock.com. Or you can visit my store in the next few weeks. My grand opening will be March 13th at 7884 Broadway, Unit 81 West in Maryville, Indiana.
Thank you again.
And thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can find resources to build a better business at nwibizhub.com. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.